You are listening to The Angry Geeks Show, an Angry Geeks Network presentation.
You're looking for trouble? You came to the right place.
I'm a karate man, right? Karate man rules on the inside. They don't show their weaknesses.
Ooh, yeah! Of course I knew. I just had no idea.
I'm so terrific, I even had my own toll-free number. 1-800-UNBELIEVABLE.
Well, neither are you, very bad. That's an attention getter.
Textbook narcissism.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing.
And I'm all out of bubblegum.
And that's the bottom line, cause Stone Cold said so.
Thought she was going in a whole other direction with that.
Acknowledge me.
You may not like it, but accept it. Is that the way that it is?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
I must obey.
You're not my supervisor!
Ability to speak does not make you intelligent.
Do it, Tony. Come on. Take us home.
Ah, hell, we're going to be on the internet.
This is the way.
Baffling.
Hey,
you better not be talking to
invisible
animals.
I'm balance, off balance, doesn't matter. I'm better than you are, yeah.
Sweet mama!
Promotional consideration provided by Meat So Horny. Whether you are working with a plump rump, thick legs, or just need a general rub for your chub, Meat So Horny will have the spices, marinades, rubs, sauces, and salts that are worth the squirt. Just one taste is all you need to know. Level up your grill game with hot sauces, rubs, and salts created by the pros. Use code GEEKS10 today when visiting meatsohorny.com. That's code GEEKS10.
Meat So Horny.
Promotional consideration provided by Pleasant View Comics. Pleasant View Comics is trusted by more than 20,000 eBay shoppers with over 50,000 items sold. The 100% positive overall score and 5 out of 5 stars. Based in Rhode Island and available only at select conventions and on eBay. And 250,000 comic backstock. Make Pleasant View Comics a favorite seller on your eBay account today, and make sure you always stop by their booth. Just look for the Angry Geeks approved sticker. Pleasant View Comics is an Angry Geeks approved source for all your comic book needs.
Hi, you were here before. Hi, how are you?
I see you eyeballing. I Rhode Island Comic Con 2023. Come on, get a little louder than that. Unacceptable. One more time. Moderator is, right? Because I'm staying on stage this time. I'm not getting off stage. So yeah, you guys are stuck with me. And now, well, we got some rules, all right? We got the con rules. No videotaping. No live streaming. Security's gonna boot you. I love you guys. I see you guys every year. You guys know who I am. But that's it. Can't do that. Photographs. Save your... I see your cell phone. I see, I'm gonna look at you all through the thing, Mr. X-Men. Photographs. Stay there for the end of the panel, okay? Start taking your photos at the end of the panel, if that's okay. Unless you work for the con, then you like the blue shirts and the agents and stuff. They can take all the photos they want. If they work for the con, they can take it all there. Okay? So you guys ready? Yeah. So, let's first, let's bring out the one and only, you know her from Ghost. You know her from iZombie. Miss Rose MacGyver. Rhode Island Comic Con welcome. I'm gonna send her in the back. I want it louder. One more time. Go. All right, next. You know we're from a lot of different things, and she's a true geek at heart. I mean, super geek at heart. The one and only Felicia Day. Blew out the speakers. You're only gonna get one. Wow.
I forgot to take my fanny pack off, but I'm just trying to promote the fanny pack life. Okay.
All right.
You call it a bum bag.
You call it a bum bag because fanny means vagina, right?
Yeah. So you need a fanny pack. And
okay.
Is
Mary back there or no?
She is. She
is. Wow. Don't call her late for the panel. It's not her fault. Let's bring in Mary MacDonald.
Hello.
And now, so I'm not outnumbered up here. You know him from iZombie. You know him from Reacher. The one and only. Malcolm.
The way! Yeah!
Malcolm, how are you doing? What is it, Malcolm? It's hard for, like, it's, we're going to age ourselves. Hartford, Connecticut, 7 years ago? Yeah, when iZombie first started.
We right, were, I think I was having two, maybe.
Yeah. Holy moly.
We just worked together.
Oh, yeah. And we just
in that project, we, yeah. We met last night.
All right, before we get started, we got some rules. You guys that know who I am and how I run a panel, you know, we got Angry Geeks rules. We're going to have to lay it on. Now, the Angry Geeks rules are not set by me. They're not set by the con. They're set by our panelists. So, before we have people line up for questions, ladies, gentlemen, and Malcolm, I use that term.
Appreciate it.
What are the questions you're tired of answering, can't answer, don't want to answer, or answer so many times you're just sick and tired of answering? Let the people know now so we can get them out of the way.
I have a request.
Yes.
Please do not ask me my age.
Okay, so that's one. Yes.
Don't ask me what any of my co-stars smell like.
Okay.
I'll just save someone from asking it, because they will. The brains don't taste good. They taste like corn syrup, gelatin, tofu.
All right. Oh, I see. He's David.
He's like, that's my question.
Welcome.
You can ask me anything. It's okay. No rules. No rules for me. No rules for me. Okay, how about this? How about, what's a common one? What are the brains made of? I'll answer it right now.
We just went over that.
Agar. Gelatin. Yeah.
Said that. Pick something else.
Rose. He didn't listen, Rose.
How tall I am. How about that?
It's 6'3". Stop asking.
I know.
We also can talk about the shows that we're on. Any. We are all on strike still. You know, we're all hoping that it's over soon. But
right. Yes.
Ask me what I ate last week. I'll tell you everything.
That's what I wanted to know. I wanted to know going down the line what kind of pasta you like.
Well, I was going to say.
Because I'm starving right now. I can eat like a lot. So starting with Rose, what's your favorite pasta?
Well, I just also want to say that people should use this opportunity to ask Malcolm anything, because he's like the DIY king. He like learns how to wire circuits on YouTube and stuff. So just if
really?
You have anything.
That's right. I have several degrees from YouTube Academy. Several degrees from YouTube Academy.
Okay, well, our camera was on the fridge earlier. Can you go take a look at it?
I really could. Sure, I'll be back there.
Okay, what kind of pasta do you like?
Udonesca. But I'll mix it up. Like the pasta itself could be like Udonesca sauce with penne, or I like a arancini.
Oh, the ear ones?
What are you doing for dinner time?
I like barakitty a lot too. It's because it
barakitty is. Yeah, it's just so cute.
I found out I have an eggplant allergy.
Oh.
Has anybody had the pasta where it's like a bucatini or a spaghetti and it's got eggplant and, that's good too though, ZT. But the sauce has eggplant in it. And I had alla norma, thank you. I knew there'd be Italian somewhere in the Northeast. So that is my favorite, but I had it the night before. I was hosting something and I had it the night before and I woke up and my face was like swollen to the point where I was like, what happened? Why do I have cheekbones everywhere? It was so weird looking. I discovered I had an eggplant allergy. So that used to be formerly alla norma, and now it's just butter and bonza chicken.
Linguine with white clam. It was my mom's favorite. And my sister's here and her wife. Hello. Yay! Raise your hand! Yay!
Woohoo!
Stand up! Yay!
Welcome. Don't say ravioli.
Ravioli. good old, just a baked ziti. I'm good with that.
Baked ziti?
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Oh, yeah. I make that.
Oh, yeah. I
cook. I'm just not a bum under the bridge.
I need to taste that.
Okay, you said I'm not a bum under the bridge several times since I met you 5 minutes ago. Yeah. Is there a fixation here? Or like, is it an anxiety? What's going on?
It's an anxiety. I know, tomorrow I'll be something else.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have an existential angst about your future.
I don't know, if my kid was in here, he'll probably tell me something different. I don't know. So, you guys, if you have a question, line up to the mic, please, and just have some fun. I know you guys have questions. Don't be afraid.
How about everything and the things we can't?
Yes. Yeah, so line up. We're at a comic book convention, pop culture convention.
Everybody has to like rethink their question.
hey, that doesn't count. You gotta stand up to the mic. And don't fight, because if you do fight, we're gonna have to get some pole sticks, crack them in two, and make you battle out for everything.
Yes. We can talk about animation.
Yes, we can.
Talk about video games and books and, for breakfast.
What I wanted to know is you're at a comic book convention, you're at a pop culture convention. You guys collect anything?
No.
No.
I'm gonna be going through the vendor hall tonight looking for something. My nephew's birthday is the day after tomorrow and he's obsessed with squid right now. I don't know, this is his animal at the moment, but his mum dressed as an inflatable squid for Halloween. Literally like 9 foot tall. So I'm looking for something squid related in the vendor hall. If anybody has any tips, point me in any directions. It's a niche. That's brilliant. Thank you.
This woman knows every challenge.
There you go.
My daughter is obsessed with Pokemon, and I was like, well, Pokemon
come to you one.
Then they came back.
So okay, now we're really analyzing this. So you're afraid. As your children came back, they're gonna kick you out of your house and you're gonna live in the river.
Well, I'll introduce you to my son, yeah, he wants to kick me out.
Okay.
He says, Dad, you're crazy. You're crazy. Hi, what's your name?
Hi, my name's Carol. I have a question for Rose, and it's an acting question, so not necessarily series specific. But what is it like to have to play on under the same character, but different iterations of the character, that you have to get into a different mindset every week? How do you manage to pull that off?
I think in some ways it's really helpful in that it kind of finds the variety in a performance for me. I don't have to be, you know, trying to reinvent the wheel with make something fresh each week on and on and on that kind of feels tired in any way. So I was lucky that the writing really carried some of the variety, and I would be sort of more focused on trying to, at tiny moments, ground a character into something that was sort of accessible. But it was just lucky. It's like when you're a kid and you pull things out of the dress-up box that you can kind of be something different each week, and it's the sort of version of acting that you don't actually get to do a lot, but that is a joy. So very lucky, very lucky.
Well, you were very good at making them very different every week.
Thank you so much.
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Amanda. I'm really bad at talking into mics. So you guys have all been in sci-fi shows, movies, what have you. Are you particularly interested in the genre? Like, do you have a favorite sci-fi book, TV show, movie? But again, whatever you can talk about, I'm well aware. But to whatever you can answer. And if not, do you have a particularly favorite genre?
Okay. Because I've been in one sci-fi and recently one, and I think I can say this because I'm not going to say the name, but I've entered horror. One of the reasons I love both of these genres, even though personally they weren't genres that I spent any time in, but having participated in both of them, I find that these genres allow a conversation politically, a conversation spiritually, a conversation about science, and a conversation about women that is not happening in sort of normal storytelling, particularly in this country. So for me, that's what I love about the genre work. That's exactly right, yeah. That's right. That's
that
right.
You have a take on that?
I mean, that's hard to follow, but it's, yeah, for me, you know, the horror genre is interesting to me right now, and I don't watch horror movies. You know, I grew up with having bad nightmares, so I kind of stayed away from it. But having done a few in the past few years, it's been fun. You know, it's been fun. It's been interesting to see the people who watch it. And I think some of the biggest films, especially after the pandemic and theatrical, were like horrors in terms of horror films having that fan base that support it. So lately, it's been fun. It's been a fun genre to be a part of. Don't know if I'll still watch it, but I'm more than happy to be in it.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get to you, what's your name?
Hi, my name is Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi. So I wanted to make a comment on what Mary just said about horror. Horror, being an older woman, I can say that horror is the one of the only genres where you can be an older woman and still have a leading role.
That's right.
Which is huge. But my question is, if you guys weren't in the entertainment industry, what would you do? What would
Ooh.
You be doing?
All right,
This one does a million things, apparently, anyway, so.
I know, what's on that? I'm redoing my website, and I was like, oh, Felicia is a, and then I'm like, why are there so many hyphens?
Oh, I don't know.
What would you do?
What do you?
Well, I think I would probably, I mean, I still kind of do it. You know, I love education. And I love working with young people. And I've always loved doing that. I wouldn't be here where I'm at without my teachers who believed in me. So that's probably what I would be doing full time if I was in an entertainment business. And I would love it. It's still probably my favorite job I ever had. I've had 57 jobs, something, 57, 9 to 5.
57 different day jobs.
There you go. Yeah,
my other job would be writing Malcolm Goodwin's biography.
She really could. She could.
He's a fascinating character. Literally 57 day jobs. You can't make it up. Like lumberyards and teaching and weird Craigslist jobs.
Yeah, it's been a lot of stayed working.
Yeah.
I definitely, well, I kind of haven't, I didn't do any off-camera acting since 2018. So I actually fired my people because they were jerks. And then I was like, I'll get another person in a year, and then COVID hit. So I just finally got another rep to go back to, because I do miss acting. But I think my other plan would be what I've been doing the last several years, which is video game streaming and writing.
Yeah.
That's my retirement plan. I plan to be on a beach in maybe Spain, just streaming video games, writing Kindle singles, maybe doing a Patreon.
That's what I'm saying. It's like everything.
Lots of different like tapas all the time. And that's my retirement plan, and hopefully I'll get there soon, but not too soon.
What are you playing now?
I'm playing Baldur's Gate 3. I decided to co-op. Don't do that with your friends because they never show up. And I'm playing Cyberpunk, the DLC, which is excellent. So, yeah.
Ooh, nice. Mm. Nice. Not Spider-Man. Not
it. The what?
The new Spider-Man? No.
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 I'm not. I'm just not
into that. Yeah. No.
I did.
No. I feel the same way. I'm like.
Oh, so do I.
Hi, I'm Alex.
Good luck following that.
Yeah, right, yeah. I love all y'all's work, but my question's for Ms. Day. As a big Guild Wars fan, I'm just curious, what got you into, I don't know if you're allowed to talk about it, but what got, oh, perfect. Yeah, what got you into the role of Zoja originally?
I think that they, I created a show called The Guild, which we talked about.
Yep, very familiar. Online.
I did that role in my garage for many years. That was all the roles that I got on any TV, because I'm a terrible auditioner. I was terrible. I had anxiety disorder. I would crumple with the slightest pressure. And I had a real problem getting, I was always second choice, but I've worked enough. And that's why I wrote my show, because I literally could not be who I needed to be and get the role that I imagined for myself. So I just did it in my garage and it just blew up. And any role you see me on TV since or voiceover was probably due to that. So, yeah. I mean, God bless everybody who hired me since then, because I could show people what I could do, because I just couldn't do it in the room. Hopefully, now I have Lexapro. Thank you. Self-tape at home. I'm very good at lighting. We'll see if I get another gig. But, yeah, I mean, for me, it's always, I've always had to just kind of prove myself and make my own stuff, because my own heart won't let me.
Kind of
go through the process, and that's okay. You just have to know who you are.
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, my name's Emily.
Hi, Emily.
I have a question for everybody, but it is inspired by the fact that I just learned that Rose is not American.
What do you mean?
So my question is, what is everyone's favorite accent to do that isn't their own?
Ooh.
Mm.
Oh. All right, do you want to start with?
I'll start because I'm the oldest. I don't know if I have a favorite accent, but when I had to speak Lakota, that was really quite extraordinary. And because I had to switch so that Lakota was my primary language, my memory of English was connected to severe trauma. So to figure out how did that sound become primary, and my English, how do I get it out? Because it's stuck. And so it was the most extraordinary exploration of language and how language communicates our life and where we've been. Anyway, so that was my fave.
Yeah, mine is probably a Brooklyn accent. And the thing is, I mean, I'm from New York. I grew up in Harlem and Brooklyn. But I grew up with an extreme speech problem. And so I had to unlearn the accent in order to learn how to enunciate and articulate and stop stuttering. And so I forgot how to do it. But my brain still thinks it.
Wow.
You know, I have a Brooklyn accent in my brain that I translate to articulate.
Yeah.
But it sounds completely different in my head. So it's like, I can talk it, so talking in my native brain tongue is my name.
That's cool. I hear you.
When you were reading aloud, was when you didn't stutter, right? You told me.
Yeah, that's how I got into it. Wow. Yeah, that's it. It was memorizing. So apparently I didn't stutter and I didn't stammer and I didn't speak 1,000 miles an hour when I memorized something. But in life it was what are the words coming out of your mouth? Give this boy something to memorize so he can understand what he's saying. So I was like, when I grow up, I guess I want to be like a narrator, not knowing that was going to lead to acting.
That's cool. Yeah.
Can I hijack that, which is one more Malcolm story?
You can write my book. It's coming out next year.
Just want to see how this one lands. What about when you were going to audition for drama school? You kind of knew you wanted to be in drama and on stage and stuff, and you went to do your audition.
Boys. And so it was LaGuardia High School, and they were like, audition for the drama program. I'm like, yeah, that's a different word for singing. So my dad taught me this song by The Temptations.
I Wish It Would Rain?
I Wish It Would, see, there we go.
When does the book come out? I want to know.
But the title still.
That's the name of the book, I Wish It Would Rain. A Malcolm Goodwin experience.
Can you imagine Malcolm at high school walks into the room and they're like, we're ready for your monologue?
I had a little zoot suit, I had a fedora, and I go up in there. And I had never heard the Temptations sing that song until like 20 years later. I only knew my dad's version of him singing it. So I sung it like him, and they sat there and paused. It's like, I'm smiling like, that's it. I did it then. And they're like, think you want to audition for voice? I'm like, no, I don't. I'm like, yeah, that's it. Drama, right? They said, no, this is acting. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then the next day, a few days after that, I had an audition for drama at another school. So I had to learn a monologue really fast that a teacher gave me. And that's how the path started.
Wow.
Raising the sun.
Do it.
All right. Wow. I wish it would rain. 2024.
Felicia?
I'm terrible at accents. And the only one I could do is from a southern one, which I've been escaping my Alabama roots my whole life. But if you pay me, I'll probably do it.
Rose?
My dad's South African, and both my parents are from, mum's from Zimbabwe, but we grew up in New Zealand, and my dad is like the proudest New Zealander you've ever met. He's completely denounced his homeland, and he's like, you know, New Zealand, New Zealand, New Zealand, but he still has the strongest South African accent you've ever heard. And so me and my brother just used to relentlessly imitate him, and like, it's the worst accent. I'm terrible at it. And my husband's really funny. He's like, you're perfect at South African accent, and he's just got no idea. He'll be like, go do it, do it. And I will offend people everywhere I walk. It's really good when dad's trying to tell, you know, he's not a very disciplinary person anyway, but if he was in kind of like, time to get in the car. I'd be like, is it time to get to the car? Like, take his voice seriously. That was always fun.
Hi, what's your name?
Jana.
Jana, nice to meet you.
You too. So before I start, Felicia mentioned her books. Awesome. Highly recommend. Have them. this is kind of low. Are you able to talk about the project you worked on during the last writer's strike?
I don't know. That's a technicality. I called the guild and they were like, we
can't give you information, so I can't talk about that. I will say it was a pleasure to do that project. And I'm sad that during this project, you know, there wasn't like something else like that. Mm-hmm. But I would like, you know, whatever.
It was fun. It was definitely fun. Loved the singing. I actually think I love the commentary musical even more than the original. The fact that there are two complete musicals recorded. It's
yep.
crazy. But that was all I had.
Okay, sorry. I did ask the Guild about the Guild, and they were like, sure. But then that one I couldn't get an answer out. Hey, I think, guys, crossing fingers, I think next week we'll have to play. I have a good feeling.
All right. Hi, what's your name?
Hi, my name's Katie.
So you guys
have traveled a lot, and I was wondering what your favorite city that you've been to is, or a favorite site you've ever seen?
Rose, you said.
Favorite city I've ever been to. I really liked. Well, I did this, like, can I talk about this? Yeah, I can. It's a Contiki tour when I was 18. Does anyone know what those are? They go around Europe on a bus. It's like a party bus packed full of 18-year-olds. It's just a complete mess. But I did one when I was a teenager, and it went from, like, France to, I think, Paris to Athens, was it? But I went through Eastern Europe a lot, and I remember there was Bosnia really stood out to me. Sarajevo, but also this little town called Mostar. I don't know if anyone's been or knows anything of it. It's this tiny little place, it's like a bridge, but you know, you jump, it's like a swimming hole, you can jump at the bridge into the water. It's just so beautiful, and I think I loved it because it wasn't somewhere I'd read about, it wasn't somewhere I'd heard, and there's so many of those, obviously, but you know, I'd grown up thinking, oh, I'd love to go to Paris, or I'd love to go to, and to just be so amazingly surprised by this place that you had no expectations for, that really stood out to me, so Mostar in Bosnia.
All right. Alicia?
I've been to Barcelona 3 times, so my retirement plan is, I have like apartments bookmarked, I found an international school for my kid to go to, I found good internet, so like this plan is happening in about 6 years. No, truly my dream is to like live abroad for a couple of years with my kid when she's in medical school, because I'm like, I was raised like a wolf. She doesn't need to go to school. It's fine. So that's my dream. And yeah, thank you very much.
Mary?
You know, I don't know what my favorite place that I visited. And we have been very fortunate, particularly through these, we get to go almost everywhere, don't we? But when you ask that question, this came to my mind, and I suppose it's because of everything that's going on in the world. I hate to be Debbie Downer, but when I visited the Jewish neighborhood in Prague, it was one of the most astonishing things to me, because the reason that it was preserved was because Hitler's girlfriend was from Prague. And so he wanted to keep alive a museum of Jewish citizens that they could study historically. And so when you go to Prague, I recommend going, and if you're going anywhere anytime soon, I recommend it even more given what's happening in the world. But the beauty of it is that you really are understanding something about the spirit, the sort of liveliness of the Jewish people at that time, and some of the other insufferable things that happened to them during that time, even if they weren't sent to a camp and even if they did survive. So that's what came to mind, and I recommend it if you ever get there. It's really something.
Malcolm?
Yeah, I think for me it was probably, did a World War II piece in Italy for about four months. Mm-hmm. And we was in this small town called Barga, and it was just gorgeous, just beautiful. And also, you can eat all you want without gaining a single pound.
What's it about?
Why? Why can you do
that? I know.
Yeah, tell us.
The food was cleaner. I mean, it was, yeah. I'm telling you. Yeah.
CT?
CT.
What's your name?
How's it going? My name's Scott. Kind of just a general question, but it was inspired off of something Mary said about wanting to kind of be a storyteller and prompt conversations in society. Obviously, a strike has a goal. What's your vision for the future? I mean, stories like Dances with Wolves brought Native American lore into the common conversation, right? Yeah. And that's not really happening anymore in a substantial way. So what is your vision for what stories are told by Hollywood and how they're told?
Are you talking about what is our vision having to do with what we accomplished during the strike? Or are you saying just separately, where do you think or how do you see Hollywood going?
Separately was my thought, but if you want to answer both, I'll stand here.
Well, I think they're connected because what we're fighting our way through right now has been sort of a repression on all levels. So it isn't just that economically we've been squeezed into gig workers, sometimes without insurance, and you know all that. It's also that same level of greed at the top has an insensitivity to cultural storytelling that's relevant. Because the people that are at the top right now, particularly with the streamers, don't even come from storytelling background. And that's, so they're all connected. So what my hope for the future is, and what I hope has been learned somewhat through these strikes, is that the beauty of what we do is deeply connected to the truth about the culture, and that the stories that truly succeed, whether they are comedies or dramas, I don't care, are connected to the real experience. Most of the stories right now that are succeeding, unfortunately, are kind of apocalyptic. Well, that's kind of where we are right now. We're trying to face global unrest on every level together as civilization. So my hope, I know I'm going off. Stop it, Mary. To answer your question, my hope is that through this strike, the people at the top have learned something about their own ignorance about storytelling and the people who tell the stories. And that will allow all this extraordinary work that's really being created, just look at the people up here, underneath them to finally, you know, blossom. And all of these other ways we're getting story out that are not quote-unquote typical Hollywood, hopefully will keep pushing the envelope, because we do need, we have great storytelling out there, but we've got to push through this idea that it's about money. So that's, I hope this is pushing that.
Totally agree with what Mary's saying. Right. Mm-hmm. Although there's definitely never as much Native storytelling as we would like to see, there's actually been some incredibly exciting projects that have come up in the last couple of years, and a couple of my very dear friends, I know I can't speak about the project specifically because of the strike, but there's a writer called Tazpa Chavez, she's a very good friend of mine, Billy Luther still, yeah. There's so many people who are making really exciting content, and I'm just hoping we're going to be in a place where we can promote those again and celebrate those again, because there is so much that's...
We have 5 minutes left, so that will give us the chance questions. So... I'm not going to let our panelists do it. I'm going to have to be the bad guy. So I'm going to have to pick that side to go. You have the honor of being our last question.
Aww.
But it's in two questions. Also, you did so say... slow, we could have done another
question. I know.
Wow. Okay. All right. You know what?
Can we just get her question?
No. Oh, go for her first.
Yeah.
Yes.
We only have three left.
And I'll never put you under a bridge.
So you both get a question.
My question was, do you guys have like a spirit animal that like you would pick to like represent you if you could pick anyone? What would it be?
Well, I have been told online, and I cannot say this, that spirit animal is a term of appropriation, so you have to be a little bit careful how you use that, and I am not articulate enough to tell you all the specifics of that, but I do, you know, I hear you. If I were to create an animal that was my alter ego, if I could shapeshift, I'm going to rephrase it like that, I would be a diptych, because I just like saying the word diptych.
Also, I'm not saying I'm diptych, though.
I can say the word diptych.
No, but they won't be able to. You're shapeshifting into something that can't say the one thing you like about it.
I so wish I could quote the last project I just did, because I could enter this conversation with some amazing lines. I think I turned into my dog Rhonda, because I can't even explain her level of, she's the most flexible creature I've ever, even on planes, like if she's underneath a seat that it's one of the cheap seats and there's not really room for her and I have to stuff her thing in there, you see her. Yeah. You see her go like this. And she's still... No, she's 13. And you know what? The other reason I'm going to be here is because... So she's like almost 15. So what is that in dog life? Like she's like 80?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And she looks like she's 10. So she's my role model. It's why I wear my hair like this, because she's a white dog.
You've got the best hair. We're talking about her hair.
And we're obsessed. We're obsessed with your hair. What was your animal? Your own personality.
Yeah.
I really love turtles.
Yeah, turtles are good. And long lived.
Okay, let's get
okay, sorry. Okay, hi, what's your name? What's your question?
Hi, my name's Faith, and this is leading off what you're talking about, but if you have any pets, could you tell us something about
that? Well, I already started, so you guys go.
What animals? I like that.
Yeah.
I have 2 dogs, 3 cats.
Yes.
We have 2 chihuahuas.
With his dogs. It's so cute.
Lefty and Daisy. Lefty, they're chihuahuas. And 3 cats.
Very cool. How about you?
I have a dog I adopted last Christmas named Sarah Lavender. We got her at the pound, and within 3 weeks of getting that dog, I called the fertility clinic and I told them, please get rid of the embryos I have.
Whoa. Because you were like, she's so perfect, I'm good.
Oh no. I'm like, no one's waking me up in the middle of the night ever again.
I have my little dog, Zoe, who is just the best. We only got her this year. She's 8 months old. We're obsessed. We definitely don't sleep either. But, you know, I haven't lived through raising a child yet, so I've still got it in me. I could wake up through the night. She's so naughty, but really cute.
How about a round of applause for our panel? Make sure you go down to their tables, to their booths, get an autograph, get a picture, say hi. Remember, a smile is always free. And get a photo op and just say hi.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
angry geeks have left the building.